almost just doesn't feel right to ask you to do anything. The only reason I ask you is you said you would. You said that you weren't done, and you said that you had to expect it. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in this service so far. I just thank you for your presence that is abundant. And to me, all of us, Lord, I just thank you.
Like we had already had service. Lord have mercy. I don't know if I could take more of the anointing. You know, we cry out for God. And I mean cry. But God knows that if he comes in with all of his glory and all of his splendor, we can't take it. We can't handle it. I know I couldn't handle it. Maybe some of you can. The glory of God is here, people. The presence of God. The anointing of God. It is here. And if you don't feel it, I pity you. Sister Sheila, I thought it's like you were sitting downstairs in my music room, sitting beside me when I was preparing the message. Confirmation. She spoke and she said, hold on to Jesus. Don't let him go. She said, humility. She said, holiness. All right. Have your way, my Lord, continuously. Hallelujah. I'll try to get through this, but it don't matter. Because God is here.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, the title of this message is Revive Me Once Again. You've heard that before. Quite a few years ago, I ministered about Revive Me Again. It's actually a 8-part series. I've already ministered on Ignite My Fire. I ministered on If My People Will Humble Themselves. This is the third sermon. Pray, Seek My Face. We can't get away from the Word of God. Might sound old to you. I'm sorry. Take it up with God. See, every time we read the Word of God, pray that God will give you a new or a fresh revelation, because it is a living Word. Now, if it doesn't speak life to you, then maybe you're just reading it as a book, because it is not a book. It is God himself speaking to us. Let me get my spectacles. Boy, y'all had me leaking all up here. Lord. You know, when you were a child and you acted up and you got spanked. Well, actually, black people don't get spanked. We got whoopings. Remember them whoopings? Whoopings, W-H, a whooping. And after the whooping, you're in your bedroom or wherever you are, and you're... That's exactly what I felt like just now sitting there. I went up to Pastor Linda, Pastor Eric. I said, I don't know if I can preach now. You know, I dealt with, prior to me coming to know the Lord, I was very hard and stiff, would not cry. And I asked God, why is it when I feel your presence tangibly, why you got me up here whining like a child? And he said, because it keeps your heart tender for me to move in your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't fight it anymore. I just roll with it. There are many men of God in the Bible that prayed for people and they would weep because of their sins. Let's turn to Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10. Remember, this title is Revive Me Once Again. Pray and seek my face. His face, not my face, his face. And the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. This is the beginning of a revival. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed the word of God coming forth from the man of God. Come on now. This is why I tell you, we ask for many things. Understand what a prophet speaks. He's going to speak the divine word of God. A prophet speaks from the voice of God. He speaks the word of God. And what is God always dealing with us? Sin. Sin. See, we want all the prerequisites. We want all the blessings. But we don't want to change. We still want to act up. We still want to sin a little bit. But God bless me. I hate my brother. But God bless me. I just finished watching this TV show. Won't you, godly? But God bless me. I just finished talking about my sister or brother. But God bless me. I deserve to do that. Because they ain't no good. But God bless me. We better get it right with God. God ain't playing. Understand the voice of God. Understand the voice of God. What's the purpose of blessing us if we won't bless God with our lives? We were bought with a price. It is our reasonable sacrifice. to worship and to glorify God, to lift up the name of the Lord thy God. Not to lift up the name of Pastor Mike. To lift up the name of the Lord thy God. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Grab hold to this. God sent Jonah to say what he wanted him to say.
Right.
Not what the people wanted to hear.
Uh-huh.
It's time out for foolishness. Right. It's time out for this. Because I feel the glory of God here. I feel the power of God. I feel the presence of the Lord thy God. We either will let him do it, what he needs to do in getting us right, or we just going to do what we want to do.
Hallelujah.
And the people of God, and the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed, a fast. And put on sackcloth. And the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. I don't want to get on this, but this is how they mourned, grieved back then. It was a symbol of humility,
amen,
of submission, of humbling oneself, of being grieved. Are you grieved? Are you grieved when you sin? Keep in mind, that's why Jesus died. Time out for playing church. Are you grieved when you sin? Or are you always looking at someone else, trying to pick them apart and criticize them? Something to think about. Are we grieved when we sin? Because it gets us out of fellowship with the Father. It hampers our relationship. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink. You tell me that's not a fast. I don't know what is. I don't know what is. We going somewhere in here today. Because in America, we have weak Christianity. We think we have a monopoly on God. No, we don't. See, we want the easy Christianity. But we don't want to bring the stinking flesh under authority. We don't want to bring the sinfulness of our flesh under. And guess what? It is up to you, not up to me. It is up to you to bring your stinking flesh under authority. Your flesh and your spirit. Whatever one you feed the most will be the one that's going to stand up. Let me tell you, if you're complaining a lot, I don't care how anointed you might think you are, if you're always grumbling and mumbling and moaning and complaining and shooting folk down, I want to tell you, you ain't anointed. And that is not the spirit of the Lord thy God. You pastors who are listening, and you stand in the pulpit And behind the pulpit, you're talking about your congregation. You're talking about your deacon. You're talking about your elders. I want to tell you, that is not the glory of God. That is not the anointing of God. I don't care who you are. God is not a respecter of persons. This message is for all of us, including me. None of us are exempt from the chastisement of the Lord. If you think you are, I pity you. You're wondering why you're going around the mulberry bush, the same old thing. Keep happening and happening and happening. Maybe you're a rebellious rascal. Maybe you refuse to humble yourself. Let me tell you something, baby. You either humble yourself or God will eventually humble you. Don't get it twisted. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not going to make you get all through all this. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty, once again, and cry mighty unto God. Yea, let them turn away every one from his evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. See, listen to this. There is nothing new underneath the sun. Violence was then, and violence is now. So what we're going through, yes, in this time, in the dispensation of our planet, but it's nothing new. Nothing. There's nothing new. Maybe it comes forth in a different way, because they didn't have guns back then. Oh, but they had knives. They had swords. Look at Peter. Walking with Jesus. All those years, come to arrest, and first thing Peter, get in the flesh that quick. He wasn't trying to cut the man's ear off, just let you know. He was trying to cut his head off. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? And turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would not do unto them, and he did it not. See, our obedience can stop a lot of stuff. Our yieldedness to God can stop a lot of hardship in our lives. Amen. It is when we are rebellious and disobedient. God doesn't take pleasure in that. In 1857, there was a 46-year-old man named Jeremiah Lamphere who lived in New York City. Jeremiah loved the Lord tremendously, but he didn't feel that he could do much for the Lord until he began to feel a burden for the lost and accepted an invitation from his church to be an inner-city missionary. So in July 1857, he started walking up and down the streets of New York City, passing out tracts, talking to people about Jesus. But he wasn't having any success. Then God put it in his heart, to try prayer. So he printed up a bunch of tracts and he passed them out to everyone he met. He invited everyone who wanted to come to the third floor of the old North Dutch Reformed Church on Fulton Street in New York City from 12 to 1 for Wednesday to pray. He passed out hundreds and hundreds of flyers and put up posters everywhere he could. Oh, but Wednesday came, and guess what? And at noon, nobody showed up. So Jeremiah got on his knees and started praying. For 30 minutes, he prayed by himself. When finally 5 other people walked in, the next week, 20 people came. The next week, between 30 and 40 people came. They then decided to meet every day from 12 to 1 to pray for the city. Not praying for themselves. Not praying for stuffies. Not praying for money. Not even praying, God, heal me. As my brother says, God is not a Santa Claus God. He just is not. Before long, a few ministers started coming and they said, we need to start this at our churches. Within 6 months, there were over 50,000 groups meeting every day in New York. Soon the word spread all over the country. Prayer meetings were started in Philadelphia, Detroit, and Washington, D.C. In fact, President Franklin Pierce started going almost every day to a noonday prayer. By 1859, some 15,000, grab hold of that, 15,000 cities in America were having downtown prayer meetings every day at noon, and thousands were brought to Christ. The great thing about this revival is there was no famous preacher associated with it. See, that's the problem. The preachers are high and mighty, and you need me. No, you need Jesus. All Jesus need are a few people who will humble themselves and cry out for him and him alone. That's all. Got nothing to do with no pastor. Got nothing to do with no deacon, no elder, no preacher, no prophet, whoever you think you are. It is just crying out for the Lord thy God. That's it. Do you hunger for him like that? Do you hunger for him like that? Because he said, if we hunger and thirst for him, he's going to take care of us. So the great thing about this revival is there is or was not a famous preacher, minister affiliated with it. It was just believers having a passion for God to come. Understand, revival comes when God comes. You pray until you're blue in the face. Revival comes when God comes, because he is the one that brings it. But are you ready for him to that magnitude? He says, count the cost. See, only God can start a revival. And God is quite clear about what he expects before he returns to his people. 2 Chronicles 7:14, can't get away from it, I'm sorry. That's what this 8-part sermon series is talking about. See, we just want to quote the scripture, just, let's move on. No, you need to understand what God is saying about the matter. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, you must have been sitting right there beside me. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from, no, we're not wicked. But that's, God don't mince words. God don't play. And turn from y'all wicked ways. Not y'all's. Not every once in a blue moon. I've never seen a blue moon. Turn from our. God's word is for all of us.
Amen.
When you harden your heart and you think it's for everybody else, for you, I pity the fool. I pity.
Jesus.
And turn from their wicked ways. Then. See, we don't want to meet the prerequisites of the promise. We want the promise, but we don't want to obey. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, forgive my sin, and will heal their land. Sister Sheila said something, I believe, during prayer, or maybe it was when she was talking, preaching, because she's a preacher. She don't think she is. A girl can preach. Oh, you didn't hear what Sister Linda said? She said, yes, she can. And she said, this is why God, it's a living word. God, when God says land, he's not necessarily talking land like we think. Could be. But he's also talking about the land, this. This flesh. You don't have revival by seeking revival. You have revival by seeking God.
Thank you, Jesus.
By seeking God. See, when we seek God, it costs us something. When I seek God, God reveals to me. God will tell me, well, Michael, that show you like so much, no, you need to cut it off now. You don't need to watch it no more. Let me tell you something. I guarantee you just about every last one of us in here, maybe some of us, have become desensitized to sin. You watch so much TV, people cursing, and it don't bother you no more. And because you like the show, nobody better not address it. I'm telling you, sin ain't funny, people. You either want more God, or you stay right where you are. You're not going to lose your salvation, although you could. Because she said, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. That's people that are saved, folk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How can you depart from the faith if you never had the faith?
That's right.
So I'm not here to debate once saved, always saved. I just know what the word says. Now you take that and you roll with that. But see, we want to sin a little bit. And still want God to bless us. We want to say we holy, but we don't want to let go of unholiness. You don't have revival by seeking revival. You have revival by seeking God, because he's the one that brings revival when he comes on the scene. God says that if we will pray and seek his face, he will hear and forgive and heal. If God is going to come and be with his people, he is not going to come until his people ask him and him alone. People, I'm not talking about stuff, because we all got stuff. See, we live in the richest country in the world. Even the poorest of the poor here still is rich in comparison to other countries. And so when you live in America, you benefit from the wealth of America. Social services. You have, what's it called? Food stamps. We got a whole lot of stuff. Go to India and see what they got. Go to Africa and see what they have. When you are poor, you poll. You take out an O and you take out the R. You poll. Or is it two O's? P-O-O. Oh, that poo. That poo. Yeah, Winnie the Pooh. You poll. See, because we live in a blessed country, we tend to take it for granted. Because we've always had it. You've always had it. Oh, but you realize once it's snatched from you, how blessed you had it. And you did not appreciate it. That's why I see people on the streets begging and stuff. Get off the street. Why? We got programs here. Do you know some of the folk don't want to work? Amen. Now, there are some that are mentally ill, just to let you know. But there are a lot of people that just do not want to work. They want a handout. But we're no different. We don't want to do any work. But yet we want a handout from God.
Go ahead.
You don't shout me down. It's the truth. We want to see. We think we're a little bit better. We think we're a little bit better because we're in the church now. Or I think I'm a little bit better because I'm saved now. Well, God has washed me and cleansed me. Yes. But guess what? She ain't. God just said we're wicked. What did he say? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We better think humbly, and we better thank God for his grace and his mercy. If God is going to come and be with his people, he is not going to come until his people ask him and him alone. Yes, sometimes I think people feel the object of prayer is to overcome God's reluctance. Okay? It is like God is taking a nap. He really doesn't want to be bothered by me. But if I pray just right, he might do something for me anyhow. People, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is confessing our need and our desire to be conformed to his will. To his will. Not conform to your will. Many times we pray and we're trying to conform God to our will. Even Jesus said, Jesus fought it a little bit. He struggled, but he got himself. He shook himself. Right. Not my will, but thy will would be done.
That's right.
God is waiting to hear his people pray and ask for him, and not necessarily for revival. And until many... I just got to preach what I... And until many of us get on our knees and humble ourselves and seek God and ask him to come, revival will never become a reality as long as we're here. It's the stubbornness, it's the stiff-neckedness. It's me thinking that I got it all together and all the rest of you got it wrong. That's some messed up thinking there. You need me. No. I need you just as much as you need me. We need one another. Remember? Iron sharpens iron. You're able to, if there's a little burr or a little nick on my sword, when we rub, you're able to sharpen me up. But it also goes for you. But what exactly is revival praying? The answer is found in one of the greatest revivals in the Bible. When we look later on this revival in the city of Nineveh, it was a pagan city. It was wicked. But it was a very powerful revival that came forth at the preaching of Jonah. Let me tell you, he wasn't preaching you okay. Feel good in the midst of your sin. God had told him what to say. You do know if that fool had not said what God told him to say, God would have took him off this planet. God did not play. See, we play today because, see, we don't see that happening. Understand that about those prophets of old. A prophet speaks the voice of what God is saying, not what you want to hear. Typically, you don't want to hear it. Typically, you're going to chase that individual out the church. See, we want to hear the good stuff in the midst of me acting up. Look at Jezebel. Killed them prophets, chased them, because they are speaking the voice of God. But her prophets speaking what she want to hear. Pagan city. From one verse, the story we find the substance of revival praying. Verse 8. I'll read it once more. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his, not just some, everyone from his evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Because I don't want to keep you too long. Yeah. We preachers, we tend to lose track of time. I won't be able to get through this. We'll just have to pick up another time. Because this morning, I want to look at three characteristics of revival prayer. The first characteristic is it is characterized by brokenness. The second is it's characterized by urgency. The third one, it is characterized by our holiness. Holy, we tend to think holiness is tied to how much I scream and yell. We tend to think in the church, holiness is tied to how much I sweat. We tend to think holiness is tied to how much I run and hoop and holler. Ain't got nothing to do with holiness, people. Has nothing to do with holiness. We all have different personalities. Let's look at revival prayer. It is characterized by brokenness. Brokenness. Seek God and ask Him to break you like a twig. We need to be broken. When we are broken, we humble ourselves. When we are broken, we recognize I need God and God alone. When we are broken, we are quick to get upon our knees. When we are broken, we are quick to repent and turn away. When we are broken, we don't talk about one another. When we are broken, when you turn your back, I don't stab you. Do you need to be broken? You preachers, some of you ain't broken. You pastors, some of you are not broken. You preach the word. You may even teach the word. Did you know the devil know the word better than all of us? He kicked it with God for a long time. But look at him. We think we all that in a bag of chips. No, we're not. God don't need me. I need him. Brokenness. This is what the king meant when he said, but let man and beast be covered in sackcloth. He wanted the whole city to be covered in sackcloth. As I said, sackcloth is worn as a token of mourning by the Israelites. It's also a sign of submission, 1 Kings 20, 31 through 32, or grief or self-humiliation, 2 Kings 19, 1, and was occasionally worn by the prophets. It is often associated with ashes. So let's look at verse 5 again. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. When Jonah preached the word of God, when he obeyed God, see, that's all we got to do. Obey. When he obeyed God, the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God. And so when he preached, everyone started fasting. And you remember in my second sermon, I talked about if my people will humble themselves, okay? Fasting is the Old Testament way in which we humble ourselves. I've said this before, And I continue to say it. You have to activate the word of God in your life. It's not good enough to just read. It's not good enough to just read the word of God. Study the word of God. Go to school to know more of the word of God. You have got to activate the word of God. Guess what? And you got to work the word of God. You got to. If you're lazy, I'm sorry. Christianity takes work. Amen. In obeying the word of God, in activating the word of God. Let me tell you something. Everybody here know when you're acting up. You know it, but you just don't want to obey the word of God. Aren't you tired? Aren't you just tired of always disobeying and rebelling against the word of God? Don't you get tired of that? Especially we who are students of the Word of God, professors, and we who are doctors, got our doctorates and all. But yet you have a lot of knowledge, but you're stupid. You're intellectual. You can quote the Bible frontwards and backwards, but you still walk in rebellion. Something wrong with that. You know, I don't even apologize no more for walking like this because I can't stop it. I can't help it. I just be me. You don't like it? Whatever. Take it to the Lord. Pray for me. I probably won't stop, but you can still pray. Hallelujah. Fasting is the Old Testament way. And how we humble ourselves, the way we show we are broken, the way we are showing that we are desperate. And that is what God is looking for, a people that are desperate for Him. If you don't get anything, get desperate for God. Don't you want more? Or do you? Do you really want more of God? Or are you just complacent and satisfied with where you are? I see heads out there like, no, I ain't. That's a good thing. It's to recognize. I need more of you, God. I need more of God. God has said, if my people will humble themselves, something about humility, because if you ain't humble, you one proudful rascal. You're arrogant. When we are not humble, you have that critical, judgmental spirit on what everybody else does. And you got the answer to everything. You want people to listen to you, but you don't want to listen to what nobody else has to say on the matter. Remember, iron sharpens iron. You want to sharpen somebody else's iron, but do you want your iron, your sword to be sharpened? It's a two-way street. Because I need to be sharpened. Because I get dull. If you use the knife time to time, it has to be sharpened. Ain't no such thing as a knife that stays sharpened. I've seen those commercials. Don't ever have to sharpen the knife. I ain't never seen nothing like that. Well, give me that knife. Let me cut up, use it on some bricks. I guarantee it'll have to be sharpened. God will visit when His people reach a point of desperation. When we surrender that pride, the idea that we can do pretty good on our own, and we get down on our knees and admit things are not as they should be, let me tell you something, God is going to come. God says the first thing that I'm looking for, Michael, in your prayers, is humility. It's humility. I'm going to even take it a step back. Many times we're praying and we'll see faults in others. Now, we should pray. But all you praying for is the faults of somebody else. Lord God, I pray that such, 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 such. Why is it that's all you see? God says, Michael, you need to look in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror and allow me to spiritually show you that 2x4 that is hanging out your, imagine that. It's coming out your eye. But yet you see that little speck, that little splinter in your brother's or sister's eye. Let me tell you something. The Word of God don't lie. That's why I don't do well with a bunch of complaining. I don't do well because let me tell you something. That complaining can suck you in. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. I'm telling you straight up, I don't do well with it. Because the next thing I know, I'm like, where in the world this come from? You better stay in the Word of God. God says the first thing that he's looking for in our prayers is humility. In Exodus 33, the Bible says that when the people heard the Lord had left them, they began to mourn. And nobody put on any ornaments. They were broken. Something about being broken. When you're broken, when you are broken, you're not rebellious. When you are broken, you will humble yourself before the Lord. God puts a precedence, a premium on being broken. Because we can become stiff-necked, prideful, arrogant, especially if you got a little knowledge. Remember what the Word says, a little knowledge does what? It puffeth up. It's similar to what Sister Sheila said. A little bit different, but there are some, God can't bless you. I'm talking financially. God can't bless you because you leave God. And you won't bless others. He gives us wealth to further the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
All right. I'm closing. I got through 4 pages. Believe it or not, I had 12. So I'm closing. Oh, he said I had 40. But I will pick up on a later date because I'm not satisfied. I'm just not satisfied. I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm not satisfied in what I have. I'm talking about of God.
Okay,
this is. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm tired of talking about stuff. I'm not satisfied in where I could be. I'm speaking me. I'm exposing myself. I want more of God. I hope you're not, if we're satisfied, something's wrong. Something's wrong if we're just satisfied. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you're dissatisfied, if you are dissatisfied in where you are right now, you're saved. But you want more of God. Not from God, people. But you want more of God when you pray. You can hear him. When you leave your home, you can hear him telling you what to do and what not to do. Scripture does say, my sheep know my voice. See, God is not going to scream over any of us. See, the world is loud, but God is not. If you want more of God, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. I'm not going to have you to come up. I'm going to say it once more. If you're satisfied, I'm okay with that. Because your name, if you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if this is all you want from God, I'm okay with that. But if you want more of God, raise your hand. That's about the whole church. Keep your hand raised. I'm just going to walk past each of you. And I'm just going to touch you with oil. So if you want more of God,